Blog Talk Radio.
And Mary?
Yes.
Home?
Shalom.
Let me get you to sign on to the server, and then I'll tell you what room you need to go into.
Oh, you want me to go into the room?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I go.
Right. We'll wait on her to come in. And then our beloved Sister Denise, we need to find out. She may still be at work. But I'll leave the blog talk.
Oh, she's not at work. You want me to call her?
Is she off work?
Yeah, she's off work now.
Yeah, have her to sign on to the server.
Okay, I'll call.
She'll probably call in that I can give her the instructions in which room to come in.
Okay. Okay, I'm finna hang up now and call her.
Okay. So we'll wait on you to come.
Okay.
All right, yes, Sister Lorraine, I muted your mic, which takes it away, because I think you were asking somebody, have they seen your keys? And so I didn't, you know, want that, your conversation to go out to everybody. So now you should have your mic back. And if you want to talk, then you have to turn it back on your end. So hopefully we can get everybody on the same page, back on the same page. Are you able to hear me, Sister Lorraine? Okay, I'm going to guess that you're away from your computer at this time. Let me turn my volume up on this one. All right, check 1, 2, 3, check 1, 2, 3. All right, there goes Sister Mary. Let me enable her mic. All right, Sister Mary, you can try to enable your mic. And you probably would just need to click it at the top of the page. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Check, check, check. All right. Sister Lorraine or Sister Mary, are you able to hear me? Shalom, Sister Mary. Are
I'm
you
in the room? I see you in the rain, but I don't hear you.
You can't hear me?
No. You can hear me calling you?
No, your mic is not on. I don't see your mic.
Oh, wow.
So you have to turn your mic on, because when you first come in, it's disabled. So if you look up at the top of your screen, you see the mic icon?
No, I'm trying to bring it up. It won't come up. I see my camera, but not my mic.
Try it now.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, let me hang up the phone to make sure.
Okay.
All right, say something. Yes. Can you hear? Shalom, can you hear me? All right, Shalom, Sister Mary, can you hear me? Shalom, Sister Mary. Yes, I can hear you, but you can't hear me.
Right. Why is that, I wonder?
I'm trying to think of why that is. Because it was, let me see if Sister Lorraine can hear. I think she was able to hear before.
And I think Sister Denise is asleep. I'm trying to wake her up.
She might be tired.
Yes, she might be.
And this is not usually a day that we meet on.
Right. She did have to go to that.
Now, I'm wondering, why can't you hear me in the room?
I don't know.
I can hear you, but you can't hear me.
Brother Miles wants you to get online. Come in the room. Okay. Go to the private room. I mean, to the public room. All right.
Yeah, let's see if she's going to be able to hear. Now, are you on Chrome or are you on Edge?
I'm on Chrome. I'm on Chrome now.
Okay.
You want me to go out and come back in and go to the other one?
Yeah, let's see if you can hear on that one.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to go out.
All right.
All right.
Yes, because I got it going back through my speaker as far as everyone having an echo. I'll turn off this speaker once. I know that everybody can hear everybody. Testing 1, 2, 3. Echo should be gone.
Okay, I'm coming in. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you in the. Okay, so we're gonna hang up. All right, Sister Denise, let me enable your mic. All right, I just enabled your mic, so you'll have to turn it on your end now. Test. Sister Mary, are you still able to hear me? Okay. Sister Lorraine, you'll have to enable your mic. Okay. Now, Sister Denise, at the top, you should see a mic icon that you just click on. It'll turn green, and you should be able to be heard. So let me call her. Yeah. Hey, Sister Denise.
Huh?
I said, hey.
Hey.
I think you're able to hear us in the room, right?
I can hear you, yeah, but y'all can't hear me.
Right, because your mic is not on.
I tried to turn it on. I don't see it.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, I got it. I just turned it on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, let me put my phone out of the way so I can make sure we can hear you in the room. All right, say something. Yeah, we can hear you. Yes, ma'am. All right. Thank you all for joining me here. I sent you a, I think Sister Rain downloaded it from the site, but Sister Denise and Sister Mary, I sent you guys an email with the articles of incorporation in it, and you guys got it and looked it over. Okay, what about you, Sister Denise? Well, it won't be your mic being turned up, maybe speakers, but let me see if I can turn mine up. I'm going to actually open up another mic. Let me know if this is better. Check, one, two, three. Okay. So I'll leave that mic on, and I'll use a... All right, so this should still be the same. Are you able to hear me? Testing, one, two, three. Okay. You said you can hear me, right? Okay. Well, I'm going to see about turning this one up. Check, baby, check, baby, one, two, three. Check, baby, one, two, three, four. All right. All right. Well, we can have some fun sometime. All right. Okay, so let's see what I'm going to do about this, because I hate hearing myself. You do it that way. I just hear myself in one ear. Okay, so I sent you guys the Articles of Incorporation. So you should have those. And then I sent you the Rules of Order. And you should have those, Robert's Rules of Order. Did you get that, Sister Denise? Okay, so you haven't had a chance to go over it. Okay. All right, so we're going to go over it, those this evening, and then the Articles of Incorporation. It shouldn't take that long. The reason that I did the Articles of Incorporation the way that I did them, as I said before, the organization that I looked at, it is actually their Articles of Incorporation, which we can use. And the reason we can use them is that the Articles of Incorporation are generic, and all of their, they refer to the bylaws for everything. So this just, you know, is used to incorporate them and to file for the 501c3. And so we can use this. As when I looked at it and read it over and, you know, changed it to our stuff, because it is so generic, then this is what we're going to use to file with. And I think after tonight, after we vote on it, I'm going to go ahead and go on to the Arizona Corporation Commission and submit these articles for Yesha Run Farms. And then after they are approved, I think it takes about a week, I think I might need to find a newspaper. I don't remember which one I used before. But you got to put a article in the newspaper that runs in the newspaper and announcing that you know, you're starting a corporation. So I'll need to find which one that I used before, because they were relatively inexpensive. Because it can be expensive to run an article in the newspaper. So part of doing that, you have to run an article in the newspaper. and maybe I can go back into my previous one and see who I used to run that with and have them to run the article again, you know, run a different article. I think it costs like $75 or something like that. But some of them can cost as high as $1,500. So, you know, I found one that they ran them, and as long as, you know, I'm not trying to run all the bylaws and all that, just, the, you know, the standard article of incorporation, then it should be, it should cost about between $75 and $125. So I want to go ahead and get that taken care of, because then once that's approved by the Corporation Commission, then we can file for the 501c3 with the IRS. And that gives us, you know, access to the grants database. It makes us eligible for that. So then we will start working on the bylaws. And I've started working on the bylaws. I haven't given you guys a copy of it yet, because the bylaws are very extensive. And they had programs that are included with their bylaws that we probably will not use to start, but doesn't mean that we can't incorporate them later, you know, as we grow and get enough people. Then we can include, you know, some of these other things if they make sense to do it. So let's do this. Let's do our statement of faith. And I make a motion that that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second? All right, all in favor, say aye. Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, so we, this meeting of Yesharon Farms is officially in session, and we're going to do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we will go ahead and review the Robert's Rules of Order, and then we will review the Articles of Incorporation. Okay, so our statement of faith is, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe that I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today, because truly he is worthy. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name, Father. And we just thank you on today, Father, and we glorify you, and we lift you up. And we thank you for health, Father. We thank you for being our provider. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to have a sound mind and to be in you, O God. So thank you, Father, on today. And Father, I just want to give you glory and praise. Hallelujah, for what you've done for me in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. Let's see. Psalm 133. The book of Psalms, 133. Okay. A song of degree by David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. And as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, evermore. Amen. Most I had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach, praise his name. Amen and amen. All right, I do want to give a praise report real quick. Went back to the doctor today, the heart doctor, and he said my heart has returned to full function. That it is pumping blood the way that it's supposed to, at the levels that it's supposed to. My blood pressure is normal. And so I'm just praising Yah because in September, it was only pumping 20%. And now it is up to what it's supposed to be is 50-plus percent, and it's at 60. So I'm thanking the Most High. You know, I'm not going to come off the blood thinners yet because to come off the blood thinners because I had that AFib where the top of my heart was beating faster than the bottom. The only way to actually come off the blood thinners for sure is to have them to put a heart monitor on for like 90 days, but they got to go inside to do that. I said, no, I'll forget that. So I will stay on the blood thinners for right now because I don't want them going inside my body for anything if they don't have to. Always, you know, anytime you allow that, if it's emergency, okay, but just for them to see whether I'm at AFib or not, and I would know because I know before I went into the doctor, I could feel my heart beating faster than what it should, and I was feeling that, you know, when I was going up the stairs and things like that. I don't have those feelings. I don't feel that when I'm out in the yard working, when I stress myself, like when I'm carrying 80 or 120 pounds, buckets around. I don't feel, you know, all stressed out, my heart beating real hard and all that. So it's like I was young again. So I know that I'm not having AFib attacks. So I'm just thanking the Most High, because I know when I go up here on this land and have to do what I need to do, you know, I want to be able to do it in confidence. And since my, since you know, the main thing was my heart function, it being normal, you know, I think it shocked him. But you know, he's like, hey, all your stuff looks good, and so. You know, the meds that you have taken have corrected everything. And, you know, I would even take you off of, the blood thinner. But he said, I can't really confirm that you haven't, you know, you haven't had or not going to have another AFib event. And the problems with that is, you know, if my heart were to go back into AFib again, then if there are any blood clots, then it can push a blood clot out that goes to your brain and kills you, causes a brain aneurysm. So I told him, I said, no, Well, then we won't quit the blood thinners right now. I said, I know that I haven't felt my heart beat in a rapid, you know, praise like I know that it had been doing. And so that hasn't happened. My blood pressure has been normal, you know, every once in a while to go high. But for the most part, it is running normal, even after I stress myself. So, you know, the most I said I would come out of it is better than what I, you know, what I went into it. So I'm praising the Most High. So that's exactly what's happened. Amen. So we are, you know, definitely proceeding with what the Most High has told me to do. And I'm just, you know, that much more confident. You know, encouraged that you know, what the Most High has been showing me, everything that he has told me, he just keeps reaffirming that his word is true and that his word is good. Whatever he has said, he has done it. Just a second, let me see what the sister is saying to me. All right. So we're going to review these rules of order, and then we're going to review the article of incorporation, and then we're going to take a vote between us. We're going to, you know, to file these as the articles of incorporation for Yesharun Farm. So we can get that part kicked off, and then we will take, I don't want to take more than 30, this is coming up into July, we're at the end of June. Yeah, I don't want to take more than 30, 45 days max, because these bylaws, as I said, they are very expensive. And I know there's going to have to be some reworking that we do. These mosquitoes in here are getting on my nerves. They're like eating up my ankles. But yeah, we need to get this portion done. So the Robert's Rules of Order. Now these are the rules that corporations are required to go by when conducting business, as far as making motions and, you know, official, what the official wording is to take certain actions. So we're going to read over these, but then we all need to be more than just familiar. We need to be intimate with these to know when we should use a certain motion. Or, you know, how to amend a motion or what it means to table something. So we all need to be participating of this and understand them. And let me get something to drink here. All right. Robert's Rules of Order. One, to make a motion, to introduce a new piece of business, or propose a decision or action, a motion must be made by a group member. I move that. Like when I say I move that, we call this meeting to order. A second motion must then also be made. Raise your hand and say, I second it. Well, we're remote, so if you just say, I second it, that's going to suffice. After limiting discussion, the group then votes on the motion. Okay, and you know, like to bring the session to order, we just vote on it. We don't have to discuss whether we should meet or not. We might have to do that in the future. I'm not sure. You know, maybe we might have to ask, is there a quorum? Anybody know what a quorum means? Yes. And so that number, we determine what that number is, what's going to be quorum. Usually, it doesn't have to be a majority either. You know, we can just say quorum is two members. And as long as we have two members, then we meet quorum. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay. So, we'll, you know, typically it's going to be majority or more, but it doesn't have to be there. You know, we determine what's going to be quorum. So if we say that the board is 8 members or say the board is 12 members, then we can say quorum is 3 or 5. If it's 8, then that's more than a what, majority? And so we can say 5 is quorum, and in order for them to conduct business, they have to have 5 people, you know, available. And give me a hot second, because this mosquito's getting on my nerves. I'm going to have to catch him up under this table. I hope they got him. So a second motion must then be also made. Raise your hand and say, I second. After limited discussion, the group then votes on the motion. A majority vote is required for the motion to pass or quorum specified in your bylaw. So again, you know, we'll, when we get to these sections in the bylaw, if it's for a board or for committee, if it's membership, then we will determine, you know, what is quorum and what's going to be required for a motion to pass. Okay. So let's continue. So everybody understands making a motion. Okay. To post an item indefinite. This tactic is used to kill a motion. So, you know, let's say we bring up an item and we just can't come to agreement on it. It's split so drastically that, you know, it's 50-50 split, it won't pass or whatever, then we would make a motion to postpone an item indefinitely. The tactic is used to kill a motion. When passed, a motion cannot be reintroduced at that meeting. It may be brought up again at a later date. This is made as a motion. I move to postpone indefinitely. A second is required. A majority vote is required to postpone the motion under consideration. So again, we have something we can't make up our minds on. We're split. We can't come to, you know, majority. You know, yeah, that would most likely be the case. So somebody would make a motion that we what, postpone indefinitely, and then somebody else would have to second it, and then it would be voted on. So it's just like a motion, but in this case, it's to do what, postpone? Okay, and then we can't go back to this item what, that meeting, right? You have to wait for the next meeting or some subsequent meeting. Excuse me. Shouldn't have sprayed that spray in here. Good grief. To append a motion. I mean, to amend a motion. This is a process used to change a motion under consideration. Perhaps you would like the idea proposed, but not exactly as offered. Raise your hand and make the following motion. Now, we can raise hands because we got the ability to raise hands in this meeting. So, I actually need to. You have a hand over in your right hand corner of your screen, right? At the top. Yep. If you look up there by the classroom name, you don't have a hand up there? Okay, let me log out. Let me leave out from this with this account. All right, are you still able to hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3. Oh, wait a minute. All right, are you still able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I need to change this account up and take away so I need to be able to see what you guys are seeing. Administration. Okay, I'm going to have to go out. I'm going to be right back, okay?
All right.
All right, check 1, 2, 3. Can I be heard? Testing 1, 2, 3. Can I be heard?
I can hear you, Brother Miles.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right, so why is this one not thinking that I'm the moderator in this room? Okay. Didn't recognize that I came in. And you are right. I don't see a hand. Over there. So I'm going to go back out. It's probably going to kick this user out. I'll be right back again. And you go see if there's a lot of
questions.
Check for this room.
I'll
be right back
again.
All right, testing 1, 2, 3. I don't see you there. Okay, yeah, it is there. Okay. So what you guys would need to do, you don't see a hand up there next to the room name? You would need to go out of the room and come back in. So I think this is Denise left out.
So we need to go out?
Yes, you don't see a hand up there next to Yaz Global Cleaning, Yaz Global Classroom. If you don't see a hand there.
No, I don't see a hand.
Yeah, then you probably need to go out and come back in.
Want me to go out?
Yep. Just hit the exit at the top. And then come back in. All right, welcome back to Lorraine. Do you have a hand up there next to the classroom?
Where's the hand?
Yeah. Do you see a hand?
I don't see a hand.
Okay.
So
where are you looking
at?
So you do see a hand, Sister Mary?
I see a hand now.
Okay. Sister Denise sees a hand. And Sister Mary, you said you saw a hand.
Yes, I see a hand.
Did you two sign out? Or did you just go out of the room and
come back in?
I signed on the way out.
Okay, Sister Lorraine, you probably have to exit out of the room, log out, and log back in.
Okay, I'll do that.
We'll wait for her to return. So you guys got some hot weather up there, huh?
Yep, we got time, ain't it? It's about time.
Well, you know, it's going to last about a month.
Then
it's going to
snow again.
I know.
Y'all better get all of it that y'all can.
I know.
That's why I said, that while they're complaining, they better stop complaining.
Amen.
It's too hot.
Well, you know, if you ain't used to it,
I guess
that could be a complaint. All right, Sister Lorraine, welcome back.
They complain it's cold, so I'm so glad y'all not the father.
Amen. We'd be glad that they're not around him.
Around him.
He'd be like,
all
y'all do is murmur and complain.
Right.
Amen. All right, Sister Lorraine, do you see a hand now?
I do.
Okay.
I
want each one of you to go ahead and click on that hand. Okay. Up under my screen, I see where it says each one of you want to ask a question. But I know that you click the hand so that rather than, you know, if we were taking a vote or seconding or anything
like that,
then we could actually use it in that function where it says to
raise the hand.
Right.
Okay. Also, we can actually, I can do this. And it should pop up on your screen.
What did you say?
I said I'm going to also do something.
Do
we can
something.
Do a poll.
Do a poll.
For a vote.
So I'm
going
to
make
one
real
quick.
Yeah, I'll make one real quick that pops up on your screen so you can see it.
So you can see it.
Who can? No, you're. Once you press that hand.
No, it should be there.
But you don't need to click the hand right now. We'll make this yes, no. And create it. So do you have a poll that popped up on your screen?
Yes, I have a new poll. Love of y'all wants to know.
Motion
to a man.
To a man, the motion. You'll respond yes or no. Vote.
Yeah, you can vote.
And
everyone should
vote.
So you click yes or no, and then
you click vote.
And then everybody vote.
Yeah, I did.
All right, so it says that three of y'all voted yes and one voted no.
Who voted no?
Well, I don't know. I know, I did. I said yes.
Yeah, so it shows me three yeses
and one no.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, I would make that a
part of
the
official
record. That on this vote, on this motion, this is the way the vote went.
You can't
see it,
I don't
think,
unless
I share
my screen.
So let me share my screen. Let me close that poll. Okay, so you should see the screen sharing
icon
in
the top
right-hand
corner.
Yeah.
You go ahead and click
that
and bring it up.
Drag it up
to
where
you can see it.
I'm supposed to do what?
You click that icon.
Oh. My TV.
Right. TV for you.
Everybody else
is
screen.
And then you probably see a picture of me.
Yes.
And then
you'll see my screen.
Oh, okay.
And then you probably need to drag that up where
you can
see it better.
Anyone
having
difficulty?
I don't want to do that.
Is that your screen area? What are we supposed to be doing?
You're just looking.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm always wanting to do something. I know.
I know.
That's why I can't give you
any more rights.
Okay, I got my hands on that.
All right.
Can you see that poll?
Poll the results?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see how I see?
Three
yeses
three
and one
no?
Yes.
Okay.
And
I can just say,
clone that or close it.
Hit cancel.
It'll save the results.
And then I can just say
on this motion.
This was the vote.
So it doesn't say who voted which way.
But it does tell us how many voted.
That's three guesses and one vote.
Right. And I can change it to a pie chart.
So out of 100%, 75% voted yes. And
25%
voted no.
No.
And the only way those numbers would
be relevant
was that it tells us the result is what, four? Right here?
Right here.
Right.
So we know that four people voted. Then we would know that three had to vote yes to get 75%, and one voted no to get 25%. All right, so just showing you that we can use this as a tool. Okay, so I'm going to
close that.
And I'm going to stop sharing.
And what was wrong with your computer?
Did
it have a virus?
No, it didn't have a virus.
It didn't have a virus.
Nobody had hacked
into it.
I have to use a database server. I have to use a media server for like audio, one for video, one for this room. It's like five or six servers that you have to use. And you combine them to do all this stuff. One of the servers, the database server, the
records
for this room and for these rooms that I had
created.
Somehow the database got corrupted. And so...
Well, it wasn't nothing that we did, right?
Well, I don't know that, but I'm going to say no.
Why did I even ask that question?
Yeah, I don't know that, but I'm going to say no. But anyway, what I ended up doing, I was testing it out, and I discovered that some of the
rooms
were still working. But they were
what
I call the default rooms, you know, that when I load the software, it has some rooms
that it
creates.
Like
as, you know, example
rooms.
And the rooms that I had created weren't working. So when I tried it on one of the sample
rooms,
it was still working. I'm like,
okay.
This seems like this is just affecting that room. And so I deleted those rooms and recreated. And everything works.
Okay, and did you put your security code on them?
Oh, yeah.
I did increase the security.
Okay.
The only way they can do anything now, they would have to have my login.
Okay.
So, yeah, thank you, Brad.
Technology?
Yeah.
Yes.
She's asking the appropriate questions.
In a technical way. All right. So we understand,
to postpone a meeting or indefinite.
We understand that term.
Let me do a poll.
Okay. Just look at to amend the motion. This is the process used to change a motion under consideration. Perhaps you like the idea proposed. I know we already
read this,
but not exactly offered. Raise your hand and make the following motion. I move to amend the motion
on the floor.
This also requires a second. After the motion is amended,
a
majority vote is needed to decide whether the amendment is accepted. Then a vote is taken on the amended
motion.
In some organizations, a friendly amendment is made. If the person who made the original motion agrees with the suggested changes, the amendment motion may be voted on without a separate vote to approve the amendment. So, in other words, We bring a motion to the floor. Somebody says,
I'd like to add this to it.
If we don't use the friendly amendment, then that person would have to make a motion to amend the motion on the floor. Somebody would have to second it. And then we would have to
vote
on allowing him to add that amendment. And then that amendment
is
added to the original motion, and then we vote on the entire thing as one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And if friendly amendments are allowed,
then
we don't have to take
a vote or second it.
We just say, we're going to allow that in, and the person that made the original motion says, I can agree with that, as being added. And then we just vote on it.
Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Commit a motion.
The action is used to place a motion in committee. It requires a second. A majority vote must rule to carry. At the next meeting, the committee is required to prepare a report on the motion.
Committed.
If an appropriate committee exists, the motion goes to that committee. If not, a new committee is
established.
So let me make sure I read this one again and understand myself. This action is used to place a motion
in committee.
So this is something that you want to send to committee. Okay, so let's say we need to study what type of people we want to bring into the organization.
And we want a committee that's going to oversee that. So we make a motion to commit a motion, and that's really to either establish a committee to look into it, if one doesn't exist, or it's voted to send it to that committee.
Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay,
any questions?
That's good.
Sister Lorraine, I think that was Sister Mary that answered.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
Huh. Well, that was tough.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to repeat what you said?
I understand what you're saying about the I understand about the committed motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was you that was speaking. I said you understood. I don't know if Sister Denise and Sister Lorraine did.
Yeah, I understood.
Okay.
I understand.
No questions.
All right, cool.
To call for a question. To end a debate immediately, the question is called, say, I call for the question. And the action needs a second. A vote is held immediately. No further question is allowed. A two-thirds vote is required for passage. If it is passed, the motion on the floor is voted on immediately. Okay, so let's reread this again because that last part of that. To end a debate immediately. So if we're having a discussion on something, let's say somebody wants to bring a motion and it gets heated. Somebody can make a motion to say, I call for the question.
Okay, I call for the question, and the action needs a second.
So somebody would have to second that. A vote is held immediately. No further questioning is allowed. So let's say on the same thing, we were making a motion for a committee to how to get members or whatever. And somebody kept asking different questions, and then somebody else asked
questions.
It seemed like it's going to be endless. If somebody can make a motion, I call for the question. And that ends all question asking.
Okay.
And then a vote must be taken, what, immediately?
Right.
And it has to be second.
It has to be second.
A two-thirds vote is required for passage. If passed, the motion on the floor is voted on immediately. So we, you know, somebody makes, really is making a motion
when they say,
I call for the question. They're really saying, we don't want no
more questions.
Everybody understand that?
Right.
And then somebody, you know, somebody says they second it. And then we vote on it. And we, so we're really voting in the beginning. No more questions.
Right.
And if that passes,
then
whatever we were discussing, or whatever, the
motion
or whatever, then we
vote
on
that
immediately. Okay. So this,
I understand.
Okay. All right, good. Everybody else understands,
Everybody else
understands,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
To table a discussion. To table a discussion is to lay aside the business at hand in such a manner that it will be considered later in the meeting or at another time. I make a motion to table this discussion until the next meeting. In the meantime, we will get more information so that we can better discuss the issue. A second is needed, and a
majority
vote is required to
table
the
item
under discussion.
So
rather
than
bringing it for an immediate
vote
and saying no more questions, you know, we've discussed this
enough.
Somebody says they ask to
table
discussion. And they can say table it to
later
in the meeting,
or
table
it,
you know, because we
might
be looking,
somebody
might be getting an answer
for something
that we're going to get right then,
or
we say table
it
until
the
next
meeting,
and then we second, and then it's voted,
and
if it's voted,
then
it's tabled
until
the next meeting,
or whatever we
said. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. To adjourn a meeting, a motion is made to end the meeting. A second motion is required. A majority vote is required
for the meeting
to be adjourned
or ended.
But we've been using
that
one,
the first one
and
this
one, every
meeting,
but we haven't been
using
these others. But we really haven't brought anything
up
for
a vote
either.
In a while.
So these are the rules that we're going to
use,
okay? If more than one
motion
is proposed, the most recent motion takes
precedence
over the ones
preceding.
For example. If number six,
the
table
discussion,
a motion to table discussion is proposed,
it must
be voted
on
before number three, a motion
to
amend,
can
be decided. So it's
the latest
one, whatever latest
motion
is made, has to be voted on first. Any questions? So you got to know if
you
want to
be,
you know, people be trying to maneuver
around
or wrangle things.
In
meetings.
Then
you
really
have to
know
these
rules.
And so if you want to
bring,
if you want to postpone
a vote
on
something,
you could just what
ask
the table. And then
somebody
say,
for
how long? Well,
until
we can get
the
answer for
this.
And then it's voted on. If somebody
says
they want to postpone an item indefinitely, what are they saying?
That they don't want to talk about it, I guess.
And they want to kill it.
Right.
Okay, so that has to be...
That has to be...
Second.
Second.
Now, if it doesn't get second,
then
the discussion continues.
Continues.
Because maybe you don't feel like discussing, but everybody else like, no, we still want to discuss this.
Right.
Okay. Go back down to the bottom here. In smaller meetings, like in committee or board meeting, often only four motions are needed to introduce, to change a motion, to adopt, and to adjourn. Remember, these procedures are designed to ensure that everyone has a chance to participate and to share ideas in an orderly manner. Parliamentary procedures should not be used to prevent discussion of important issues. In other words, somebody might try to use these particular motions to halt a discussion on something, or to prevent a discussion on a certain ideal, or to kill it without having it discussed. And they shouldn't be used that way because everybody should have a chance, to participate. You know. But if the majority comes up and says, "Yeah, we want to table that, or we want to kill it," then that's what goes. That's what happens. Right. The majority rule. Now, board and committee chairpersons and other leaders may want to acquire training and meeting facilitation, and in using parliamentary procedure, additional information on the meeting processes, working with many types of people, and using Robert's Rules available from community resources such as League of Women Voters, United Way, Lions Club, etc. Parliament procedures at a glance. By this author, his excellent guide for neighborhood association chairs to familiarize themselves with this information. So we're going to do our best to include these rules. And to be in order this way. Because
as
people join, and if they are familiar with these rules, then if we say we follow them and they're familiar with them, then if you're not following them, then they're going to, if it was me, then I'm going to believe that
you're full of
it. You're not doing what you said. Okay. That sounds like you're having a conversation with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're having a conversation with somebody else.
Nah, I ain't having a conversation.
Were you talking to me?
No, I was saying I still bring you back up because I took you down and you were sounding mumbling. So I said I should bring you back up.
Why was I mumbling?
Don't know if you
said,
I couldn't hardly hear you.
Maybe
we had your
volume
down or something.
No, I haven't changed anything.
Let's see. My old Southfield.
Oh, I see. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. When I went out of the room and came back in and put the microphone back down to like 50%.
50%.
Okay, any questions on me?
No,
I don't have any.
Okay, then I'm going to make a motion. I make a motion that we adopt the Robert's Rules of Order as our standard order of business. Do I have a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Somebody singing. Anyone opposed? The ayes have. Even the singing eyes. All right. Let's look at our articles of incorporation. As I said, I took this from, I think it was my hobby house. I forget where they're out of. They're out of Madison, Wisconsin. And when I reviewed their articles of incorporation, as I said, they were generic. So we're just going to read these, and I need you to read them with me. So I make a motion to enter the articles of incorporation as written for submittal. Do I have a second? All right. All in favor, say aye. All right, so we're going to read these, and then we'll make a motion to adopt. And if we adopt it, then I will use these to submit for our corporation for Yeshurun. Okay, the name of the cooperative shall be Yeshurun Farms Community Cooperative. Article 2. The cooperative is organized exclusively for charitable and educational purposes within the meaning of Section 501(c)(3) of the Internal Revenue Code. No substantial portion of either its funds or activities may be directed at any time to other purposes. So in other words, well, we're going to use the farm form. And it's going to be more defined in the bylaw. It will not be used directly to the benefit of one individual. It will be used as a nonprofit, and different duties within the nonprofit. We're going to each of us are going to take one of those positions. But then we're going to also, as we can, include a salary for that position. And we will go out to different organizations to get funding. Did you, hold on a second, did you buy these? Okay, yeah, because I'd already bought like three pairs. But yeah, I'll keep them, I'll put them up. Okay. So, as being up under the 501c3, we cannot use the money generated by the farm. Or anything other than running the farm or the house. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, as far as individuals taking on different positions, like the coordinator, the treasurer, maintenance, I think there's an outreach program. I think it's called something different in the bylaws. Then them and whoever, you know, as we grow, we get to help them. Then we will pay them for doing that job. Okay, now, again, like for my salary, I just plan to turn around and give it back to the organization for use in getting more housing, more land, or whatever. And I think that we may do that with everyone, but then we need to vote and discuss that. But as far as saying you get a salary, that's the pay that you're being paid for your labor. Does that make sense? YFC strives to improve Yeshurun Farms community by providing low-cost, not-for-profit cooperative housing for very low to high-income people. I'm just saying that we're not saying low-income people can't apply and what high-income people can't apply. You can be low or high-income because the whole goal is to have everything in common. So your income shouldn't matter.
Your income won't influence,
you know, how many votes you have. Anything like that.
Okay. Now, listen.
High income people and to the exclusive of some underrepresented and marginalized groups of the community.
Now, in the original, they had this spelled out as gay and lesbian, people of color, transgender, those types of things.
So they didn't have this word, some underrepresented. You just had underrepresented and marginalized groups. So I changed it to some because we're not going to include them all. Does that make sense?
And the bylaws will specifically spell out what groups we will consider.
And I'm going to go back as we discuss it because if somebody gay wants to apply, Then I'm not going to say no right off. I'm going to say that they understand that they cannot be practicing. That they have repented, and they are trying not to live that lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Right.
And then if they're found to be in violation of that, one time they are admonished, the second time they are what?
They got to go.
So does that make sense to us, that we're not saying that no to them because somebody could be saying, I realize that my lifestyle is wrong. This is how I identify, but I realize that lifestyle is wrong and I don't want to live it anymore. They can be repented of. Make sense?
Yeah.
Right, you have to put that in the bylaws.
Right, it'll be in the bylaws. But as I explained, it doesn't make sense.
I hear one person.
Yes. I need to speak up. Make my ears heard, I don't care. All right. Let's see. In further effort to make these goals achievable, the cooperative shall provide training and education to its residents and members, to the community at large, in the methods and mechanisms of cooperative living and housing self-management. I may need to add to this, or we may need to amend these later. Because so far, this is just speaking toward housing.
Right.
But I also wanted to include farming. So I think I just need to put a comma here where it says cooperative living and housing management.
Put a comma there, cooperative living, housing management, and farming.
And that would satisfy that. So let me bring that up. I'm going to change it while we are discussing it. Anybody make a motion that we Alter that wording, living and housing self-management, to living, housing self-management, and farm. So I make a motion we alter to that. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. So let me bring this document up. I have it over here, and I'm going to change it.
here, and then once we are finished making this, I'll upload the new version. And everybody can see the articles in the cover on the page.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, I've changed it already to cooperative living, common housing, self-management, and farming.
Farming.
Right here.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Article 3.
The cooperative is organized without capital stock and not for profit. Now, the capital stock, the S corp and the C corp, you could sell stock. Remember when we went over that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're not going to be selling stock.
Right.
So without capital stock and not for profit, the period of existence shall be perpetual. So we're not bringing this together for 6 months or a year. It's going to be for what?
It's going to be for what?
Never ending.
Never ending. Perpetual.
Perpetual.
Okay.
Okay.
Article 4. The qualifications of incidents of membership shall be stated in the Bible. So we'll define, what is a member.
What is a member?
Or types of members.
Types of members.
In the bylaw.
In the bylaw.
And Sister Denise, I know that's you, John.
Yeah.
Wake up.
I woke.
Let me make this a little bigger. Article 5. In the event of dissolution of the corporation, assets remaining after payment of the cooperative obligations, if any, shall be distributed to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry or to organizations which shall at the time qualify as exempt organizations under 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954. Now, the reason I worded it this way is that because everything is initiating with Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry is not a 501c3, but it actually qualifies as a nonprofit up under the Internal Revenue
Code.
So the first organization, if the farm dissolves even in the future, then all those assets and everything will go where?
to the government?
No, it goes first to Yahshua within the ministry, which is a separate entity. Still a nonprofit. Because more than likely, I can't speak for the future, but more than likely what will happen is, if it dissolves, then written somewhere, the only way this will dissolve is that the people stop doing it, or Messiah returns. That's the only way that this stops. But the
overall
governing authority for this is going to be Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. And Yeshurun
Farms
is a subordinate of it, but a 501c3 arm of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Because
we don't want
Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry to be quote-unquote a 501c3. But it can have a 501c3
arm,
and that's going to be Yeshurun
Farm.
Everybody understand?
Could you explain that a little bit?
In other words,
I'm doing everything
from the
ministry.
Yah's Global Kingdom. Okay, but Yah's Global
Kingdom
Ministry
cannot be,
according to the Most High, a 501c3. I cannot bring it up under the government.
Right.
Okay. But it's still governing Yeshurun
Farm.
Okay, and so Yeshurun Farm is a 501c3
arm
of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry.
I got you.
So if anything, if it dissolves for whatever reason, then all the assets of Yeshurun
Farm
converts to who?
Yah's Global Kingdom.
Right. That way we don't lose control.
Okay.
And, the government come in and says, you got to give it to these other 501c3. Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, although not a 501c3, being a
508,
C1A, is still non-for-profit.
Okay.
So it just makes sure
that
we don't lose control of it. Okay.
Let's continue.
To the organizations which shall, and this is a standard statement, but I made it specifically, the first organizations are going to be considered as Yah's Global Kingdom
Ministry.
And then after that, if there's other
501c3s
that
qualify,
and if there's anything left to distribute, then they can be considered up under that code. Any questions other than what Sister Denise asked?
No.
Any concerns?
No.
So I make a motion. That we keep this as word. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The ayes have.
Okay, let's continue.
Article 6.
The principal office of
cooperatives.
Shall be, and this may change in the future, but 13250 North 74th
Lane,
Peoria, Arizona, 85381, which is my address. It just means that's an official address of the headquarters. Even though the farm won't be
physically located here.
This is where all business mail will come.
Okay.
Article 6. The number of directors shall not be less than four and
shall be fixed
by the bylaws.
So
not less than four,
but
the bylaws, typically,
the
way the bylaws
are
currently written,
the number of directors
can change based upon the number of occupants in a particular residence. And I'm leaving it that way for right now for the simple reason. In the future, after we have paid off this land, I foresee us putting up other facilities. And so then the number of directors will be based upon the number of occupants in each resident. In other words, let's say we have the first housing we're going to put up, it'll be connected. It's going to be considered as a single unit. Let's say we get that up to 10 or 20 occupants. And then 5 years, 7 years from now, or whatever it is that we pay off the land, and the land will be re-split again. Then we will, on the same land, the different acreage, we will resurrect more houses. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hear one.
Yeah.
That's two.
Sister Mary.
Yes.
You hear?
Look,
sound like she was fell asleep.
Was she snoring?
No.
All right. I know this is boring, but I can't be that boring. Okay. So, do you understand that?
I do.
And do you have any concern?
No.
No question. Sister Mary. No. Never mind. Sister Lorraine.
Yes, I understand. No question.
And
Sister Denise.
Yes, I understand the question. Yes. No question.
Okay. All right, just making sure.
We don't remember.
I know, but I'm going to
say like,
yes, you do.
You remember
that
minute.
I know we up there in age and we forget. Maybe I need to record these so I can play it back. Remember when. All right.
So,
yeah, the goal is,
just
so you guys know, because of the amount of acres that we have, and the intent, until Messiah returns, is that the community would grow. Then, by law, there's only a certain amount of things we can do with the land until it's paid off. And then once it's paid off, then we can re-split
the land
again.
And
in that case, then I think we can
subdivide the
land
six times.
And so then I can say, okay, once we reach a certain occupancy, then if we have the funds available, then we're splitting, and we don't have to pay to split the land or anything, we just split the land. And say,
okay,
we're going to split it into from 40-acre lot, we're going to split the 40 acres into 20-acre lot. And then rather than having a house on 40 acres, we will have a house on two houses on what,
on
20 acres. That makes sense. And then we will go about to fulfill, you know, to
build out
the second acreage
of houses
and,
you know,
fill them.
And then
once
that's filled,
then depending
upon
you know, what we have going on. Because with the acreage
we have,
we could be able to split it six ways, So we really could take 40 acres and split it six ways. That means about six and a half acres. If we split 40 acres six ways, that means that we could technically have what? Six different housing sections. Per 40 acres. So that, you know, and what I will have it already designated as, there will always be 1 acre reserved for growing food. You know, so you won't be able to consume it all. And then depending upon how big the septic system has to be, then we might say, 1 acre has to be reserved for food, and 1 acre or a half acre for the septic system. And the rest of it we can dedicate to whatever we wanted to. But always 1 acre would be reserved
for the crop and stuff.
Right, for producing our own food.
Right.
And I think out of all that, too, I have to look and see what it's going to
take up.
But the power grid,
power
the power station,
like
where we would, I would not, well, I can't say I wouldn't.
Right now,
in my mind,
all of the solar
is located on the ground. Not on top of any housing unit because they don't exist. But that doesn't mean that we can't put solar on top of those, any buildings that we have, you know, built. And that could be in addition, or we may redesign the grid to say, okay, now we have the housing in place for this section.
We can
either put additional solar on top for more power,
or
we can subtract from the existing and move it to the roof. You know, it just depends on if we're producing enough. That's what's going to determine that. But right now, as I have everything designed and envisioned, all of the solar power will be,
you know,
it will be at the ground level. And
it'll be
mounted. But it'll be, it won't be on any
building
structure. And so the cables will just be run to any buildings that we need to, you know,
provide power to.
But the solar panels
themselves
would be, you know,
mounted on the ground.
On poles, but on the ground,
not
on
any
building
structure.
So,
we
would have to,
if
you
do it that
way, then it's going to
take
land to do that. With a certain amount of acres that would have to be dedicated to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
So,
again, you know, I don't see
that
we would
have
a building
so large
that we could justify
saying,
you know, we can move
half
of the solar
panels
from the ground
to
these buildings. I don't think that the
buildings
would
be that large
for what I envision
actually
going in. So I would say probably solar,
half
an
acre
would be sufficient
to
reserve. That it would be, you know,
reserved
for power. And that again. You know, that's
planning.
And plans are just
plans,
that plan.
They're
subject
to change.
If the circumstances
dictate.
But I would say that we would
probably
reserve
half
an acre.
For
solar.
And
then,
and
on that half acre,
that
I would probably also
put
the
gas
underground.
And
I think I was looking
at
1,000
gallons
propane tank. Put those underground.
On the
same acreage where the solar is at. Because they're just running lines from them.
At that point.
So. Yeah. So we would be looking at an acre and a half. One acre for food production and a half acre for energy production.
Okay. You know, Brother Miles, I've seen today on TV that they're making glass that is capable for solar energy as well.
Right.
They have different technologies out there.
Even the roofing tiles being able to conduct solar.
Right. But they were saying you could charge your phone up by the glass or something.
Right.
For a housing association.
Like here, if I've been looking at putting solar on this house and making it part of the amenities, but and so you know the companies you're pretty much tied to whatever the companies want to do. You just tell them how much energy you want to produce and how they produce it is up to them.
But
when we're on our own land, then I would be buying the solar panels. And all the equipment. Probably off of eBay or something like that. And putting it together ourselves. And so I wouldn't have to buy the most expensive panels. And the reason why I wouldn't want to buy the most expensive is because technology is always changing, right? And then a panel goes out. You're going to replace it. Typically, when you replace it, even if you bought the same price panel, it's going to be, if it's newer, produce more power or more efficiently. But the technology has just gotten better. And that's what I've seen from studying this out, is that every year or so, they come out with a breakthrough in the technology. If you buy the most expensive panels right now and put them on, they're really already outdated.
Because somewhere in production, somewhere in design, somebody's already doing something better.
So you don't want the most expensive, but you don't want the cheapest. Because you want them to be able to produce a certain amount of power and to last a certain amount of time. So I have more control over the system that I would be putting in versus the one that I would be paying a company to put in and they monitor. Makes sense?
Okay.
So everything that I'm looking at is going to be ground mounted. It'll be able to stand the winds up to 110, 120 miles an hour. Provided they don't get hit by something. Because if it's just wind, it's not going to blow them away. And they'll still be able to stand up. So they have to be mounted underground, fortified with cement. But they'll be able to stand the weight of snow or whatever. So let's go ahead and move on so we can finish this. Articles, that's eight. Any member of the cooperative may adopt any amendment to or revision of these articles, which is lawful under Arizona title. And it has to be done by Arizona state law because we're going to be in Arizona. Members in the cooperative provide that a statement of the nature of the amendment or revision was contained in the notice of the meeting. In other words, anybody wanting to make an amendment to the articles, they have to present it. They have to present it in writing before the meeting. So it has to be sent in saying, I want to make a motion to amend this and have it in writing for it to be considered. Does that make sense? Okay, so they can't come to the meeting and just introduce an amendment. Right, it has to be on paper and previously submitted before the meeting. Okay. Right. Okay. Article 9. These revised articles shall supersede all previous articles and amendments thereto, and upon filing and recording in the manner prescribed in the statutes shall become conclusive evidence of the existence of the cooperative. So in other words, these articles are what are going to establish what? The cooperative and what governs. Any changes to this, to these, become part of what? The cooperative. Any questions on that? Article 10. No part of earning of this corporation shall inure to the benefit of private shareholders or individuals. In other words, the cooperative, the nonprofit, cannot go to empower or not empower is not the word I'm going to use. To in wealth one individual or shareholder. Does that make sense? Okay. Meaning that I can start this nonprofit and I make this nonprofit solely for me to get rich. Okay. That would be what? For somebody private? Okay, so no one individual could profit that way. Now we can, as I said, make jobs and salaries for the different duties and things that are required, and say this is a fair salary for doing this type of work, and the nonprofit can pay for that. Okay, that's different than we using a nonprofit. Let's say we get $4 million in grants and somebody takes 3.9 for themselves and 100,000 is left, you know, for the nonprofit. That can't happen. Okay, that's what that means. All right. So no part of earnings of the corporation will inure to benefit of private shareholders or individuals, except that the corporation shall be authorized to pay a reasonable compensation for services rendered. The services rendered could be like, you know, for the CEO or the coordinating officer, the vices of those, any staff that they need. It's not just limited to those positions because it takes people to run, what, the organization? And we can pay them for that. So we can say when we start putting together budgets, we say for these particular positions, this is what we're going to pay. And then we'll say each of those positions is authorized so much staff. Because if you are the head of that position, you don't really want to be doing the grunt work. So you may need a secretary, right? You may need some other administrative type of staff to help you out. And so we say, okay, we're going to authorize each, just making this up right now, we're going to say we're going to authorize each position 4 staff members to help them out doing whatever. And this is going to be the pay for each of those positions. Then when we go out for grants, saying that we're trying to fund this, we're including the salaries in that, which is acceptable. And then we hire those individuals. So, you know, if it's us holding those positions, then we'll say, Sister so-and-so is doing this, Brother so-and-so is doing this. And then they may start off by themselves. But then as they see what's required and they say, I need help with this, then we say, okay, we're already having a budget for you to be able to hire this many people. Does that make sense? Okay, and then they can hire for their staff and, you know, be included in the funding that we went out to get. You know, whether it's a grant, let's say we take on a program of feeding the fatherless, the widows, and the homeless, and we say we want, you know, we want $1 million to do that. Then that $1 million would include salary for the different positions plus what we're going to use to, you know, to obtain the meals or whatever to feed the hungry, to meet the needs of those groups. Does that make sense? Okay. So just make sure you kind of, you know, you don't have to remember this in detail, but I just want you to make sure that you have a basic understanding of this is how things would operate. And then as we, you know, do the bylaw and we start looking at grants or we start going out to foundations saying that, you know, they say they will give X amount of money if you're doing whatever, then we understand that this is how this works. Okay? Because we got awful quiet. Okay. I guess the only one that didn't say yes was Sister Lorraine. But I heard her say yes. I heard her say yes. I'm just late. I'm just messing. All right. So we understand that no one individual or shareholder can, what, profit alone by this? No activities of the corporation shall attempt to influence legislation except as to be permitted under the provisions of the Internal Revenues Code of 1954. In other words, we can't say, don't vote for Trump. You couldn't say that from your position working for this for Yes Run Farms. Can everybody understand that? But if I wanted to say it out of the pulpit from Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, then I could. Because Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry is not, does not fall up under the laws of a 501c3. So you see how we have to keep things, you have to know what you're dealing with. And you have to know if you're an official spokesperson for Yeshurun Farms, there's things that you can say and do. And there's things you can't say and do. And you have to know what that is. Everybody understand? Okay. The corporation is dedicated to exclusive charitable, scientific, literary, and education purpose in the event of dissolution. Any remaining assets shall be distributed to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries or to organizations which shall at the time qualify as exempt organizations under 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954 or corresponding provisions of any future United States Internal Revenue Law. Notwithstanding any other provision of these articles, the corporation shall not carry on any activities not permitted to be carried on by a corporation exempt up under the tax section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. Now, I'm going to give you a real quick short history of 501c3 and why it was created. Back in the 1950s, the church was, has always been what, real heavy in community, and the church was helping to influence political elections. And what they wanted to do was take this power out of the hands of the church to endorse a certain candidate or speak against a certain candidate. So they came up with the section 501c3. And with that, Section 501c3, it allowed an organization to become tax exempt. Okay? But they also made stipulations that as a tax-exempt organization, you couldn't talk about certain political things. You couldn't endorse, you know, openly any one particular political candidate. And if you did, then you would lose your tax exemption. So everybody understand what the purpose of the 501c3 was and why they put it in place? Now, here's the kicker of it. They encourage the churches to become 501c3s. Okay? This effectively took the power from the church to endorse a certain candidate. But if you go to the IRS's website and you look up the 501c3, it tells you right on their website that churches are automatically exempt from filing for a 501c3. And if they don't file for a 501c3, they can still be tax exempt because churches are automatically tax exempt by the Constitution. But if they file for a 501c3, then they can't talk about these political things. So then the churches don't look this stuff up. And then they bring themselves up under the what? Government. When the law of the land is already that a church is tax exempt. And they could talk about anything they wanted to talk about. And still, you know, be tax exempt and write people's, you know, tell people they can write their tithes off because they're nonprofit. But then the corporations will come back and say, if you're not a 501c3, then we're not going to what, donate to you? So then the churches become what, 501c3? So they can get big donations. And the government did it, saying that you got to be a 501c3 if you want to apply for a certain grant. So they sort of forced the churches into this, saying, okay, if you want a daycare center and you want grants to build out your daycare center and do all this stuff, then you got to be a 501c3. And we'll, you know, we have grants that give out a certain amount of money. So you see how they sort of forced them into that? It is. It is a form of blackmail, but it's legal blackmail. And it's how, you know, how they work and wrangle the system. So then you got to decide what's important to you, right? Is the money more important to you? Is it more important to you making religious and political statements? So the Most High told me that we couldn't be a 501c3 as Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. We're still a nonprofit. And the U.S. government still recognizes us as a nonprofit. And the thing is, if you're a 501c3 organization, then you have to file taxes. As a 508, I don't have to file taxes. I can make $1 billion. I don't have to file taxes on it. So this is different, you know, knowing the difference between it all. And I can, you know, whatever it is that I want to say across the pulpit, because I'm not a 501c3, I'm not tax exempt under 501c3. I'm tax exempt up under a 508. Don't even have to file taxes. But as a 501c3, I would have to file the 990 tax return. So, yeah, that is the difference. Okay. Any questions? Okay. So, Yesharon Farms will be the 501c3 arm, or one of them, of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries, so that we can interact with the government. And under that, then we understand that the income coming into Yesharon Farms is what, tax exempt? But we still got to do what? File taxes? Okay, and then we can't speak about any political, anybody who's running for office, we can't endorse one way or the other, be against or for, as far as Yesharon Farms go. But as far as Yah's Global Kingdom goes, the organization can be for or against any candidate, can speak against or for anything that we want to, because we're supposed to be the moral barometer for the people. So if the Bible says that being gay is immoral, according to the federal law, being gay is not immoral, right? And so as a 501c3 organization, we couldn't speak against that. Right, because it's federal law that is moral. But from a spiritual aspect, and what God says is what? It's immoral. Right, it's an abomination. So if I were to make Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry a 501c3, I couldn't by the federal law and take tax exemption and speak against that. Right. But as Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry and not being a 501c3, I can speak against it. Because my standard is the kingdom of who? The Most High, of heaven. A whole different government, a whole different standard. So we understand why I'm doing things a certain way. Okay. So when I speak to other pastors who are 501c3, because they want the money, and that's what they've been taught, it's hard for them to see this. And they think that they're safe. I said, okay. I said, let somebody gay in your church, and you know that they shouldn't be up in there gay practicing as a lifestyle. You got people, you got churches who are marrying gay people knowing that they're gay and that's their lifestyle, and they're marrying them knowing that's what they're going to be doing. Let them speak against, or saying that you're not providing them adequate type of counseling, or your counseling is prejudice. Let them complain to the IRS or to the federal government and see what happens to you. Because what they will do is, and this is how they will work it, they will come back and say, okay, Church X, how long have you been teaching that it's wrong for gay marriage? Well, we've never taught that it was right from inception. Okay, how long have you been a 501c3 since inception? Then now what we're going to do is we are going to revoke your 501c3 status. We are going to say that all of the income that you took in that were tithes and offerings is now what? Taxable income to you, to the church. And then all your parishioners, all of your people, your members who filed taxes and said that they gave, you know, they paid tithes and they wrote it off their taxes, we're now going to go back and redo their taxes, and that income that they said that they wrote off for tithes and offerings and what have you, that they gave to a nonprofit as a donation or whatever, is now taxable income. And pay back taxes on it too. So this is how they lever it. So I said, you know, all you got to do is have one person complain. I said, but you don't know that because you haven't gone through it yet. And so you want to argue and fight with me? I ain't your enemy. But the Most High made me go and make sure I know all this, so that I don't get caught up in it. So that's all to the article. Any questions? The proceeds going to, or if it dissolves? Article, yeah, it's Article 10 and Article 5. And yes, that's intentional. Yes, that's intentional. Because they cover different, you know, they're covering, each article is covering something a little bit differently. But if, you know, for whatever reason it dissolves, then it's going to go, then the first organization is going to go to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. So in Article 10, it's more specific because if you look at it, and that may be, you know, that may could be reworded, but it's, dealing with straight up dissolution or dissolving. And then in 10 is where it talks about, so I think the way this was written in Articles 1 through 4, I think in Article 2, it says the corporation is organized exclusively as non-charitable and educational purposes within the 501c3. No substantial portion of either its funds or activities may be directed at any time to other purposes. Further information goes to Article 3, the corporation is organized with no capital stock. Capital 4. Okay, I have to look at this and see. Either we may be able to take it out of 5 and move everything up. Or we can take it out of 10. I have to see if this is required in here by law in this article. If not, then we can probably just remove this statement from Article 10, since it's already in 5 as a standalone article. So I'm thinking from there to there. Yeah, we can probably delete that from Article 10 because it's already stated in what, Article 5? In the event of dissolution,
That's verbatim right there. This is more, this part right here is more specific, saying that no earnings will inure to the benefits of a private shareholder or individual, except as authorized. Then dealing with political office. So this corporation, how's that word up here? Five. Not worded exactly the same way though. Right. Right. I'm sorry, say that again. No, it's right. You just, you know, in the article up there, y'all part of the North Pole. Right now, yes, 98. Uh-huh. I think if I click that. Yes, 98 right now. Right. Should have cooled down some up there by now. Should have cooled down some up there. You were at 106 today? Heck, y'all got just as hot as we did. I think we got up to... No, y'all weren't as hot as us. I think we got up to 109 or 112. Then y'all was hot. That's heat y'all not used to. And that's the type of heat y'all not used to. Yeah, real quick. I don't know what the high was today. I think it was in... What's a 10-day forecast? So these hourly by hourly that you go backwards. But I know when I came from the doctors, it was like 106. So tomorrow the high is 105, Wednesday 105, and this is actually cooler because it's been up in the one in the teens. So okay, so I think up here, and that was a good catch, Mr. Lorraine. So I think I can reword this. Cooperative organization exclusive charitable education purpose. Okay. And then I think down in 10 is stating the same thing. 5 is in the event. So
This part of it, we have to leave. This part, we have to leave. This part, we have to leave. So this part to this is a repeat of something that's already been said. So we can probably do this, delete that. Yeah, so I'm gonna do this, put that back. All right, everybody see what I have highlighted? Right. The corporation is dedicated to exclusively charitable, scientific, literary, and education purpose. I think if we go up here, we already say that right here. The corporation is organized for charitable education purpose within the meaning of 501c3. That's saying the same thing. As here. And then in the event of dissolution is N5, in the event of dissolution, right here. So I think that we can take this from here to here, and we can delete it because it's already stated elsewhere. Everybody agree with that? Okay, so I'm going to delete that, and then the rest of this has to stay. So I make a motion that we adopt the articles as written with the changes that we've made tonight, where we included farming here, and then we deleted what we just deleted. In 10. So I make a motion that we adopt them as written right now. Do I have a second? All in favor, say aye. And Sister Mary, I didn't hear you. You might have to sing it so I can distinguish between you and Sister Denise. Sister Denise, rap it and you sing it. All right. So we have this motion to carry. I will file the Articles of Incorporation as written. Let me save this. And then let me print it. And I'll print it to PDF. Articles of Incorporation. Overwrite. Okay, and then I want to upload those files. I got to recreate Yeshua. So this is the Articles of Corporation, the old one. That's up right now.
I'm just going to load them right here for right now. Okay, so let me put up another whiteboard. So you guys should be able to see this. This is the change document. So we see where we have here. Housing, self-management, and farming as a change. Right there. And then Article 5, in the event of dissolution, we remove that from 10. So in 10, we don't have any of that anymore. So this is the updated document, the one that we adopted. And I make a motion that we use these articles of incorporation to submit to the Arizona Corporation Commission to establish Just Run Farms as a corporation, a nonprofit corporation. Do I have a second? I have a second. Okay, all in favor say aye. I can hear you that time, says Mayor. Anyone opposed? The ayes have. All right, so I will submit these to the Corporation Commission, and I'll see what those fees are to file, and I will take them out of the funds that we have available to do that. We're going to need a treasurer here real soon. Okay. So, according to our rules, we'll cancel. So I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting. All in favor say aye. The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. And Sister Mary, will you sing us out? Will you No, my sister, will you pray us out? Amen.
All right, we will meet again on Thursday. I will start introducing the bylaws. If not tonight, tomorrow I will officially go online and file these as part of the Articles of Incorporation for Yes to Run Farm. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe after Thursday. I think I'm going to have to assign different offices to each one of us. So I think at the next meeting, I will say which offices are open, and you sisters will need a volunteer. You shouldn't be in trouble. Shouldn't be in trouble, but yeah, no, we're gonna need these to be on file, you know, initially, and then if need be, then we will, as we get the people, vote people, you know, nominate and vote people into the position. But that probably won't be for a bit. All right, amen. We need to go beat it on file for the corporation. All right. If there are no other questions, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, love you all. Peace and blessings. All right, shalom, family. Yeah, see you guys tomorrow for a newcomer. Bye-bye.